Thanks for tuning in to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast, where we talk about your body, how it moves, and empowering you with the knowledge to manage and treat your pain or discomfort. You will also get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at a successful private practice. You have the questions, and we have the answers. Now let's get moving.
Welcome back to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast. I'm your host, Matt.
And your co-host, Allie.
And we have a special guest with us today, Dr. Stefanski. Welcome.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about your background and who you are and what you do?
So I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I'm focusing mainly on hip, knee, and shoulder reconstruction. I've got a passion for knees, which is our topic today.
Yeah.
And I focus on a broad range of, let's say, knee preservation, restoration, and reconstruction, right from the first time you might have a knee problem all the way right through to where it's been beaten up and ground down.
Yeah.
And you're ready for replacement. We do everything from cartilage restoration to replacements and all the steps in between, including an emphasis on non-surgical management when able.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds like they do it all.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we want to dive into a little bit today, because I think a lot of patients fear, my knee hurts, I need a replacement, and there's nothing I can do until then. Do you hear that a lot?
That's not true. There's plenty of things you can do in between. So and a lot of it depends on your age and your activity level, obviously.
Sure.
If you're trying to get out there and run marathons, it's a very different scenario than if you're just trying to get up and wash the dishes and do your chores around the house, you know?
Right.
So we factor all those things in. Obviously, the goal is knee preservation when at all possible. I'm not the kind of guy who's jumping to a replacement, although I do enjoy it. It's probably my favorite surgery to do.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to try my best not to need to.
Sure.
So from the start, typically, I see everything, you know, from sports injuries and aches and pains and sprains in the younger folks. And in those situations, we're really looking mostly at things that are short-term flare-ups, things that are short-term injuries that are going to, be treated non-surgically to start with. We're looking at, anti-inflammatories to kind of calm down that raw irritable surface where it's injured. We're talking maybe a cortisone injection as kind of a heavy hitter to calm that down as well if there's something damaged on the inside of the knee. And then physical therapy is a fantastic way to go. It's very important, kind of like keeping your tires in alignment. It's important to keep your knee in alignment, so to speak. Keep it flexible, well-supported, has a tight knee or a weak knee is prone to injury.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's just like you with his analogy.
Yeah, I love the tire alignment, you know, and it's as we talked many, many times before, you may have pain at the knee, but some of the issues could be above or below. And,
certainly.
You know, sometimes an orthotic or sometimes some hip strengthening, sometimes other issues can make a big effect on where it hurts. Do you see that as well?
Absolutely. I've seen the whole spectrum, including some patients coming in with hip problems that have no hip pain, and it turns out to just be knee pain. I've seen some of them go as far as to have knee surgeries with completely normal findings, and they come to me for a second opinion. I say, let's look at your hip.
Yeah.
So those are out there too, but you can certainly...
confused by that, like, why are you looking at my hip
every once in a while? But you know, that's why you come to a knee specialist.
Exactly.
So you talked a little bit about cortisone. I'm glad you brought that up, because you know, I think that there was some bad publicity around cortisone, and I think a lot of people may be afraid of it. But talk about how it can be used effectively and kind of your practice and how you use the medication.
So, again, activity level and goals is a key player in that.
Yeah.
A one-time cortisone injection is not detrimental. It softens the cartilage for a short term, but so it's not something you want to live off of or be doing too frequently.
Yeah.
But one time for an injury is not such a bad thing, especially if you already have some underlying arthritis and you're trying to just calm a flare up, you know, kind of like if you had a cut or a scrape and you keep reopening it.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is if you can get it to calm down, that might be just the one-time thing might be all you need.
Yeah.
You get it to kind of go back to normal and you can do your normal activities until you do something big that flares it up again. That's a win.
Yeah.
In the setting of a younger person with a one-time injury, that's fine. And once you start wearing down that cartilage, kind of like you wear out treads on the tires. There's nothing that puts those treads back. So it's a matter of keeping you comfortable and keeping you doing the things that you want to do comfortably. And that when you have those flare-ups, cortisone injections are a great way to keep you comfortable. They don't put the cartilage back, but they, like I said, they kind of resolve that irritable surface for the short term. And they can last they can last months to years if your arthritis is early. And sometimes we need them a little more frequently. And if we're getting to the point where it's not lasting at least 3 months, that's when we start talking about surgery as your better option.
So you're saying that a cortisone injection is a patch on a tire?
I don't know. It's something to hold you over until it's really time to go
you get a new tire.
To surgery level. But let me tell you, if you can get 2 or 3 injections a year versus going through a surgery, you're probably in a better place to avoid the surgical risk that comes along with it. There's not a recovery with a cortisone injection.
Right.
And it's low risk. Nothing's ever no risk, but it's low risk. Right. 1 in 10,000 risk of infection.
Sure.
The same as a flu shot.
Yeah.
That's not so bad compared to a surgery.
Yeah. There are other injections like viscose supplementation where we add stuff to the knee. Can you talk a little bit about that and maybe who's appropriate for that and when that's used?
So viscose supplementation, I think of it like an oil change for your knee.
Oh, my gosh. We're all just going to stick with the same
car maintenance thread.
Yeah.
So think of it like an oil change for the knee. It works as a strong anti-inflammatory similar to cortisone, but it also has a lubricating effect.
Yeah.
It works best for early arthritis when it's not all the way down bone on bone, but even some people with bone on bone can get good relief from it. There's a little bit of controversy surrounding it, and because of that, all insurance covers it. So I always make sure it's covered by your insurance first, because if not, I don't want them to get, patients to get stuck with a big bill out of nowhere. So I wouldn't expect to come in and get it the same day if you're trying to get one. But they do work very well. I've seen a couple people who have strolled through my clinic, and I've seen them just for one, but they say, I get one of these every 10 years and it lasts me. And some people just do very well. Similar to what I said before, if you can get the pain and the issues to resolve in the short term, it may not flare up again until you have a big, aggravation.
Yeah. So what I'm understanding and hearing is there's a lot of unique strategies in managing these issues based on patient presentation, what imaging might look like, and are there surgeries leading up to knee replacement that might be an indication? And if so, what are those?
Yeah, absolutely. So sometimes people are coming in with knee pain and they say, I think I might have arthritis, but I'm not sure. They might be in that, 35 to 55 range where arthritis may or may not be there.
Yeah.
They want to be evaluated. We might find problems instead of arthritis. We may be finding or dealing with things like meniscal tears or ligament injuries and those kind of things. And those all have their own ways to be addressed. Meniscus tears can be trimmed or repaired. Mm-hmm. Ligaments can be repaired or reconstructed. If you do have early arthritis or very focal, cartilage damage that's very focused or in a small area, that's a prime candidate for cartilage restoration, or you can do cartilage transfers. There's a variety of things you can do, including
microfracture. Try to save the surface.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Most of those actually, believe it or not, have a little bit longer recovery because you have to protect them. But if you can preserve the cartilage, knee preservation is always favored over replacement. And that said, as we age, that becomes less predictable. And so as we come into our 50s and 60s, then we start looking at if you have a focal area, maybe you're a better candidate for a partial knee replacement, which have very good outcomes. Even as young as into your 40s, people are still getting back out and going skiing and performing high-level athletics on partial knee replacements. I've got a guy out there right now. If you're listening, you know who you are. who ran in the pig and finished in the pig with a partial knee replacement.
That's awesome.
Last year. Came in. I got a picture with him and his medal and everything. And
that's fantastic.
He said at the end of the race, everything hurt but his knee.
That's awesome.
So
that's fantastic.
Did he dedicate his medal to you?
Oh no, I didn't think he'd go that far. He earned it, not me.
There you go. That's so sweet.
And in this arthritis management, what role do you think braces play, like unloading braces or just other knee sleeves, things like that? What do you typically advise related to that?
So I think I put them in the category of not going to hurt and may help.
Right.
So some people do have abnormal alignment that a little unloading can benefit, especially if you have a little bit of bow leg or knock knee that's overloading one specific area on their knee. Similarly, even those soft braces, usually those don't help, those aren't adding much much structural stability, but they help with proprioception, which is knowing where you are in space, meaning it'll help you subconsciously even avoid the activities and motions that would otherwise aggravate you just by helping you be more aware of your knee on a subconscious level. At least that's my take on it, although there's a lot of different opinions.
Yeah. They're not just for decoration?
No. Well, for some people, I guess, maybe.
And I think it seems that people who do best with braces use them for specific activities versus wearing them all day, every day.
Sure,
you know, I think that relief wears off over time. So when you've taken a patient through all these management strategies and let's say, okay, they've reached the end of the road and they're getting ready for a replacement, what's your advice to them in the preceding 6, 8 weeks, 3 months beforehand? What do they do to get ready?
Well, so the first thing I tell them is best bang for your buck long term is starting with physical therapy, because whether you go down the road of surgery or not, keeping a strong, flexible, well-supported knee is going to be important. And, you know, you can, that's an investment for life. Once you've learned the exercises, you can do those and stay strong. And if you wind up going down the road of surgery, you're going to recover faster because you both already know the exercises and you're starting from a stronger point. So that's your best bet in the long run is physical therapy to start and knowing the exercises and how to keep that knee healthy.
I love it. That sounds like a great time to mention that people have direct access.
Did you pay him to say that?
They can come right to Oxford Physical Therapy for physical therapy for their knee. We can start that process and hook you up with great docs like Dr. Stefanski.
Yeah. I highly recommend them. But so in addition to physical therapy, maintaining your activity level is really the big goal, right? And so I don't want you to say I've got to shut down and I've got to stop being me because my knee is limiting me. And that's not it. I can, as I often joke with patients, I could put you in a full body cast and sit you in the corner and you won't hurt anymore, but that's
right.
No way to live.
Right.
So don't feel like you have to sacrifice your life in order to work around a knee. Let's get the knee working for you. And that's where the role of the anti-inflammatories and therapy and injections come into play. Then when we're getting ready for surgery, we start talking about things like nutritional optimization, plenty of calcium and vitamin D in your diet can be helpful, plenty of protein, maintaining a healthy weight. Mm-hmm. As your weight goes up, we do know that there's an increased risk of complications. So the lower you get that, you know, even if you're already in a good range, getting that into an ideal range is always going to be an improvement in your outcomes, easier recovery, less risk. It's win-win-win.
Sure. In terms of after surgery, what's your general timeline for when you think folks are kind of back up and ready to go after knee replacement?
So everybody's different. I've had some people walk home from their first clinic appointment, and I've had some people who, you know, started maybe a little heavier and a little a deconditioned, and they might take a little longer. I generally tell people, broadly speaking, expect about 6 weeks before we're friends again, meaning pain and swelling is down to a reasonable degree that you're able to do the things that you want to do, at least around your house and get back to work. Obviously, if you're trying to go back to, you know, bodybuilding, things like that, it might take a little longer, but you get there. Most people are doing better than they were before surgery around the 6 to 8 week mark, and some earlier, but that's a good goal to shoot for. And then you continue seeing improvement all the way through the first year. So people continue to trickle in something all the way through the first 2 years. It varies person to person, and a lot of that's determined by the dedication of the patient themselves and how much they got themselves ready coming in.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you asked that because speaking just for a minute to our clinician therapist listeners out there, is there any one factor you think dictates prior to surgery what's going to be a good indication of good outcome related to the knee? Is it range of motion, extension, flexion? Is it quad strength? Is it hip flexibility? Is there any like one thing that you've identified like, man, this one is going to be a challenge or this one's going to do great?
No, I think the stiff knee is always a little bit more challenging.
Yeah.
Motion is good, but a lot of times that motion is limited by, you know, bone spurs, osteophytes. So there's only so much you can do trying to stretch when you got a bony block in the way.
Yeah.
But keeping good muscular strength, a lot of people, you know, they start having knee pain and they start experiencing quad inhibition and they favor the leg without even realizing it. They lose a lot of strength. So focusing especially on quads and hamstrings and keeping a good balance between the two is very important in terms of recovery. recovery.
Yeah.
The things that I coach my patients on afterwards, I always tell them the most important after surgery is making sure we avoid stiffness, and I always demonstrate flexion and extension exercises to keep that motion early on. I always talk about it even after surgery. Most of the time I'm coaching the family members on how to help them do that. And they say, what about therapy? And I say, focus on this. This is the most important thing. And all the rest, strength, all that stuff, we can always build later.
Sure.
Motion is hard to get once it's scarred in tight.
Yeah, I think that makes great sense. Any other pearls of wisdom for our listeners out there related to knee arthritis you want to share?
I got a whole repertoire.
You got a strand of them, huh?
You know, if knees are bothering you, favor low impact activities rather than high impact, meaning elliptical machine and stationary bike over treadmill and jumping and plyometrics. But if running is your life, by all means, run. That's what's my job, if not to keep you doing the things that you love.
Right.
Yeah.
Focus on nutrition, healthy weight, active lifestyle. Focus on being the you that you want to be.
Yeah.
And my job is to help get you there. That's really what it comes down to.
That's fantastic. If people want to come visit you, how do they find you? Where are you at, Dr. Stefanski?
Well, you can find me on the OrthoSensei website. It's Dr. Stefanski. It's the one with the ski at the end. We only got one of those for now. So, Dr. Stefanski, my office is in Kenwood and in Westchester, and we can make appointments online, or you can call, and we do see walk-ins. So even if you didn't have an appointment, feel free to stop on by, although certainly best if you have an appointment.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us today. Thanks for sharing the information. I think that was great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It was really nice to be here.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find us online at oxfordphysicaltherapy.com, and you can also find us on our social media pages like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. Remember, you do not need a doctor's referral to receive physical therapy in the state of Ohio and Kentucky, where we offer double the care for less than half the cost. You can schedule appointments online or stop into any center for a free screen, what we like to call a bee visit. Please write a review, send us a comment or message on our social media platforms, and until next time, keep it movin'.